Once again, good morning, and welcome to the house of the Lord. Once again, blessing to each and all of you in the new year. As you know, as a pastor, when one year is closing and another one is opening, as a preacher, as a teacher, say, well, Lord, what would you like me to share with your people? It's a struggle because, you know, every time you have to prepare a new sermon, and it's the same Jesus, the same Holy Spirit, the same thing. So you don't want to be saying the same thing all the time, but that's what it is. So sometimes I try to console myself saying, you know what? I've been to Sweet Chalet so many times. So many times I've been to Sweet Chalet. Do you think I would say, I think I have enough of Sweet Chalet? I think as long as I live, take me every day, I'll go there. So let the Word of God be Sweet Chalet for you, or whatever kind of food you enjoy, that become, yes, your food, that you never get tired of it. In praying, by God's grace, He put on my heart that for this year, 2026, after today's sermon, I will be preaching through the character, the biblical characters, Adam, Eve. You know, when you take the Bible full of names, you'll be shocked and surprised. Some of the names are there that we don't even know about, but what God had done through their life. And therefore, as we go through those biblical names and characters in 2026, my prayer is that we will learn a lot from their failure and their successes in all for God's glory. But in all this, one thing will run through all of those biblical characters who have done great things in their imperfection is faithfulness. Faithfulness. And as we start this new year, my prayer for you and for myself is to have this faithfulness running in our life. And what we do, who we are you faithful? Now, if you look at the word faithfulness, you see the root is faith. Faith. Are you a person of faith? And then you play around with the word, are you full of faith? That's really playing with it. But it makes sense. It's good to have faith. But are you full of it? When you are full of it, what is the implication of that? Brothers and sisters, this world has been blessed by faithful people. The non-faith people will always mock us. But the reality is this. Those who have been full of the faith of God, of Jesus Christ, have impacted this world for good. Are they perfect? No. And that's why they all need Jesus Christ. And therefore, as we want to run through this today, two major part in this sermon, God's faithfulness and your response, my response to His faithfulness. If God has been faithful to you, how would you respond back to Him by being faithful? That's the key. And therefore, we go in the book of Hebrew 13:1-17. The purpose of the book of Hebrew is this. Hebrew was written to the Jewish Christian who were facing persecution and were tempted to revert to traditional Jewish practices. You see, persecution and tempted. Faithfulness does not come in an empty box. It does not come in an empty box. It's always in a context. Your faith does not make any sense until it hits something hard. It's easy to say, I'm a person of faith. Really? That faith will be tested. It's like anybody from kindergarten to university, you cannot get your degree. The teacher will come all the time to give a lecture, to give all the lessons. But guess what? At the end, you say, okay, well, I finished my lecture, you all pass. No. It does not work like that. You have to write a test. You have to write a test. Anyone here with a degree here, you all know it. At the end of many lectures, even in grade one, at a certain time, they have to mark your paper. That's how it is. Brother and sister, your faith will be tested, for their test was persecution. And then when you are tempted, I mean, you are tried here, it gives you something to tempt something else. So you have temptation, you have trial and temptation here in the wake of their faith being tested. Brother and sisters, your persecution might not be an open killing like in Nigeria where Christians are being killed, or other countries. Today, I told you, in my native country of Mali, ISIS and Al-Qaeda are giving hard time to small churches, imposing Sharia law there, telling them your tithing and offering should not go to the pastor, to the church anymore, had to go to us. It's hard to be a Christian in that because you want to survive. It's not easy. These people were facing the same kind of persecution. Now for us, we're thankful that we're today, thankfully, in Canada, we're not facing this kind of persecution. But the word I give here is trials. What kind of hardship you're going through? Could be illness challenges. You have lost job. You have lost a wonderful relationship, marital relationship, children. It can go on. Our persecution can take different form. And in that, temptation to try to do something about coming. And yes, brothers and sisters, see the Hebrew book underscore Christ's role as the ultimate high priest, his superiority over angel Moses in the Old Testament. While you're going through all this, trial and temptation, Christ come in the middle. To say, you know what? You might be tempted to go and find another God somewhere. It can be a person, it can be something else. But Christ is still standing as the only one who can solve your deep problem. You might not believe it, but this is the fact. Christ's role is ultimate. He is a high priest. He is superior to over angel Moses and the old covenant. Today, you might be tempted in your sickness. You might be tempted in all kind of trial you face it, and think the solution is somewhere else. But let this gentle whisper come to you through God's word that Christ is still the law, that he is still able to do something about your trials. He is still able to do great things in your trial. Don't lose that hope. And yes, brother and sister, you see, Hebrews book was written to encourage believers to remain faithful to their faith in Christ through their trial and temptation. Today, brother and sisters, he knows what you're going through. You know what you're going through. The temptation is real. You know, trial and temptation are real for you. But let this word of faithfulness encourage you to remain faithful to Jesus Christ. Encouragement to remain faithful. He does not force you, but he encourages you. He encourages you. And yes, brothers and sisters, you see, trials and temptation test our faith in Jesus Christ. This is part of a journey. See, a disciple is a learner. The root meaning of disciple is a learner. Jot that down. When you say, I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ, I'm a learner. I'm a student in the school of Jesus Christ. And I just told you, every student, before you get your degree, you write a test. Trials and temptation will be part of our faith journey as a disciple. When it comes to trials and temptation, I always help myself with a picture of a bird. You remember spring, summer, the bird will start to come out flying. They're still alive, but we call it winter. They're quiet now in a certain way. But spring, and you start to see them flying all over the place. When it comes to temptation and trial and temptation, You will never be able to prevent bird to fly over your head. You can never do it. No matter how you try, bird will always fly over you. But one thing you can prevent is to prevent bird to make their nest on your head. I want you to take that picture. No matter how strong you are in your faith, you will never prevent trial and temptation in your life. They will be there. But like bird, in Christ, for Christ, you can prevent them to make their nest on your head. That's the key. The point is this, trial in itself is not sin yet. Temptation in itself is not sin. But they're trying to entice us to sin against God. And yes, you see, trial tests our trust in Jesus Christ. Put our trust to test. When I say I trust Jesus Christ and trials come, you start to shake. Can I really trust this Jesus Christ? He said that he can do this. But what happened to me? I think I should look for another God. And this happened to John the Baptist. John the Baptist was here. He's the one who introduced Jesus to people publicly. Here the Lamb of God will take away our sins. He's the one who baptized Jesus Christ in the water. And as Jesus came out of the water in front of everybody, yes, the Holy Spirit came on Jesus and said, you know, this is my son, I'm well pleased in him. John saw all this and was pumped up and asked everybody, follow him. But when the time came for John to be tested, when he was put in prison, he sent some of his disciples to ask Jesus, Jesus, are you the one we're supposed to come, or shall we expect someone else? He started to doubt. He started to shake in his trust. The same thing. We start to shake in our trust. To be faithful to Jesus Christ, you need to keep your trust in him. And trial test that trust. And when that trust is broken, what comes next is temptation. You are tempted to go somewhere else. And when you go there, you bring your love to that thing, thinking that is the solution. And therefore, temptation tests our love for Christ. Because when this trust is gone, chances are, if I don't trust you, it's hard to love you. And this is why, understand, brother and sister, whether it's marital relation, in any deep relationship, you need two things, trust and love. Trust and love go together. If you don't have trust and love somewhere, it's very hard to keep that relationship going. And what trial do, again, is test our trust. What temptation do is trust, test our love. But in the end, again, Jesus said, you might be shaky in my trust, in your trust, in your love, but I'm still there. Brothers and sisters, the temptation, the trial are real. Would you remain faithful to him in your trust? Would you remain faithful in him in your love? You see, and this is where you see, in all this, Jesus come to us. Hebrew, God is faithful to us in Jesus, Hebrew 13:8. And I would like to memorize this. It's part of my practice, a reflection at the end of a sermon. It's simple, but it will help you. The faithfulness of Jesus Christ comes through this verse. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Very simple. Let's say it again together. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Here is the key verse of all this. He is the same yesterday that you trusted. He is the same yesterday that you love. But today, as you are shaking in this trust that Jesus, are you really the one? Let his word, his spirit convince your heart and your mind that yes, the one that you trusted yesterday is the same today. It's the same today. Sometimes it's hard to believe it, but this is the fact. This is the truth. And yes, you might be shaking today and say, well, probably today I'm going to change my temptation to have another God so that tomorrow will be better. Remember, Tomorrow, forever, will still be the same. He's reliable. He's a reliable God. Brothers and sisters, let the Christ who is your bedrock yesterday, today, be the one that you will trust forever. In death, in life and in death, and forever. And yes, brothers and sisters, you see, he cared for us. Hebrews 13, 5, 6, God has said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, not shaking, but with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? These were more mortals try to kill the Hebrew for their faith, thinking when they kill them, things are over. But the fact that they have put their faith in someone who is there forever, they can kill the body, but the soul will be with Jesus forever. Be afraid of someone who can kill you forever. But mortal can just kill me for 1 year. And yes, when Jesus Christ come back in his eternal glory, will resurrect me. Guess what? Those who hate me because of my faith have nothing. They have lost. Because my hand, my faith in someone who was there yesterday, today, and forever. Brother and sister, sometimes when going through a hard time or trial, it's hard to believe it because it's hard. It's hard. I told you the story of a gentleman, American businessman, who sent me in this country. Sorry, I always come back one way or another to him, but hey, it's another sweet chalet in a certain way. See, being in a poor house in Mali, it was not easy to pay my tuition in Canada to study at Tyndale. And I told you, my parents fasted for 40 days. I fasted for 3 days. In the end, God, in his faithfulness, in his goodness, ran into this American businessman just visiting for one week in Senegal. When he heard about my coming to Canada, but I have no money, he said, I'll pay for you. And I told you my problem was he never asked how much. When I went back to him, I said, sir, it will cost you $36,000. Thinking he would say, oh, no, that's too much. He smiled and said, don't worry, I'll pay for you. In the end, from $36,000 went to over $100,000. The man paid over $100,000 for my study in Tyndale for 7 years. And as we're sitting there, one day, I got an email from him, whom I have cancer. They took him to a hospital, removed his kidney that had cancer. When he recovered from the cancer, one day I received a seven-page email from him, seven pages email from him. He said, Nuhum, I never pray God to get cancer. But the cancer I went through was a gift of God to me. Before that, my account were full of money. I have million. Just, I remember going there, have two beautiful Corvette, a white one, a blue one, the cars alone, a car full of cars. It was just there. Each one of them were 100,000, four cars. I look. And then, guess what? Go to university where he's one of the board members. My first time in life to go at a university in the U.S. and see you go to the parking lot, you see this is reserved. No, the parking lot, his name and his wife's name are written on the ground. You can't go there. As we park there, I look at him. He said, my cancer remind me all this is nothing. In the end, what would you do with this money as you die? And try to get all this for yourself. Now this is a lesson that you will share this to bless other people. And out of that, the question came, Nuhum, you said that your father is a pastor. I said, yes, what can I do for him? I said, what do you mean? Well, you already pledged to pay for my education in Canada. Now you're asking for my parents. Long story short, he sent money to buy a house for my parents in Africa. My parents are living in a villa in Mali. prepared by this man that I've never met. But it all came as he went through a trial of cancer. Now, would he pray for cancer? No. But the cancer, the trial, instead of taking him away from God, he brought him back there to share his blessing. All this to say that yes, in our trial or temptation, guess what? Things will be tough. It will be hard for you to understand that God cares for you, but he does. If you understand it. And today, after 20 years, he walked by here, you will never know that he has cancer. He's in good shape. Now, is it going to be the same story for all of us? No. A few months ago, I buried two friends of mine, female, that I met at Tyndale. They all died from cancer, not married. I did fast with both of them. I fasted with them. It never worked with fasting. And remind me of John the Baptist. John the Baptist sent disciples to hear Jesus. But guess what? John the Baptist never received his life back. His head was gone. But the most important was this. They died in Jesus, and Jesus welcomed them in heaven. And then when you leave Jesus for something else, you lose. Why? Because here they can't help you. In heaven they can't help you. And therefore, brother and sister, understand that my Lord is my helper. And that's my prayer for you. That when things are tough, that you will know that God cares for you, even in your cancer, even in your broken relationship. And we all go through this. And yes, brothers and sisters, you see, how can we remain faithful to God in Jesus Christ? This is the last part of my sermon. If God is faithful, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. As he is your helper, in response, how can we remain faithful to him? Based on this scripture, on this passage, a few things we can do to remain faithful to him. And as I mentioned to you, being faithful is not in an empty box. It's concrete. It's not cheap word. It's concrete action, like Jesus did for us. And yes, brothers and sisters, number one, you see, focus on Jesus and his word of truth. That's it. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. It is good for us, for our heart to be strengthened by grace, not by eating ceremonial food, which is of no benefit to those who do so. And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood. Let us then go to him outside the camp bearing the disgrace he bore. The whole point is, remain faithful to the teaching, the word of God, and remain focused on Jesus Christ. That's the key. Faith comes from what you hear, and what you hear comes from the word of Jesus Christ. You and I, it's in heaven, we'll be able to see Jesus face in face in his physical shape. But today we see Jesus through his word. We see Jesus through his Holy Spirit. And this is why, brother and sister, your faithfulness is through, guess what? His word. Don't underestimate his word. It's powerful. It's the same word that God used to create this beautiful world around us. Word is powerful. Word is still creating. Word gives you new life. Word gives you new faith. It strengthens your faith. Word took flesh to become Jesus himself. And therefore, as you obey his word, you are faithful to him. And as I told you, you see, in 2001, before I met my American businessman, you know what? I was fired. I told you that part too, right? I was fired. And then Tyndale has sent me an email, a letter saying, Nuhum, you have no money to come. Believe me, I was in a trial time. Fired from my job as a missionary in Senegal. I'm from Mali. I'm in a foreign land. I'm sitting there. That I'm going back to Mali. In a shameful way. Because in Africa, they hear you have taken a plane, you have gone to another country, now they're here and you're coming back. And you just going hiding. And then as I'm planning to go to Canada, here's a letter at the same time, you can't come, you have no money. What do you do? One Sunday morning, I took my Bible, sitting in my living room, reading from Psalm 90, 91, 92. Go and read them. I'm going through this. I said, Lord, my dream to work outside my country is taken away. My dream going to Canada is no more. What else can I do? You know what? Lord, Tyndale or not Tyndale, I will follow you. Senegal or not Senegal, I will follow you. I'll go back in Mali. I'll become a gardener. By God's grace, I have bought a small plot of land by the airport in the country in Mali. My plan was to go there and be a farmer there. Believe me. And continue to follow Jesus Christ. Never give him up. While I'm going through that, believe me, in 5 years that I was living in Senegal, my telephone never rang on a Sunday morning. While I'm going through this dialogue with God with my Bible, my telephone rang. I thought someone had dialed the wrong number. It happened to be one of my pastors at the church that I was attending in Senegal at that time. I said, Pastor, what happened? He said, Noom, I need your help. I said, what can I do to help you? We have many American guests today. You speak a lot of English. I said, yes. Would you mind being a tourist guide for them? Long story short, that's how I met my American sponsor. Went to the church. Went to my pastor. Pastor, I'm ready to help. Pastor, at the end of the service, introduced me to the American guy. And from there, I'm paying for your study in Canada. But it happened. And then, later, I told my American sponsor, did you know, the day you told me you're taking care of me, the same day, I was sitting in a room struggling with God because everything was taken away from me. But going back to his word, saying even in a garden, I'll remain faithful to you. He pulled me from my garden to this beautiful place. Brothers and sisters, I'm not telling you that you will be my kind of story, but this great God has 1 billion ways to bless your life if you don't underestimate his word. Something that Satan will never be able to do for you. Something that nobody will be able to do for you. His word focuses on him and his word. And yes, Jesus Christ, and honors those who faithfully teach Jesus' word. That's what it is. At the end of the day, God has chosen some of us as pastors, as preachers, to take Jesus' word and make it clear to you. And this is why our role is very difficult. For this reason, if you don't invite me to preach, I'm a happy, happy, happy man. I will run into some pastor. They say, oh, I'm preaching today. Can you invite me to preach? I shake my head. I will never ask anybody to invite me to preach. It's too serious for that. That's how I take it. I will never make myself invited to pray or to teach God's word. It's so serious because the lives of so many people are at stake. Because if we come and give you false teaching, we mislead you. We put you in the hand of Satan instead of the hand of God. And this is why, you see, remember your leader who spoke the word of God to you. The word of God, but do it faithfully as much as you can. And be a learner. You see, consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. And this is why preachers have to remember. It's not just what you preach here, but how you live yourself. This is why it's concrete. You know very well. Some preachers, they but their own way of life are in question. You cannot come and tell people, and all of a sudden you yourself go and do something else. This is why preaching God's word and living accordingly are important. And you have to observe that. And yes, have confidence in your leader and submit to their authority, provided that their life and imitation of faith is in accordance to God's word. That's what it is. You cannot neglect that part. Any leader, any pastor, any deacon saying, oh, submit yourself to me, but you yourself do not submit it to God, it does not work. If we want you as the church to submit to what we're saying, ourselves, we have to be submitted to the word of God, and all of us have to be submitted there. And yes, do this so that their work will be a joy. not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. Brothers and sisters, your faithfulness is to see pastor, leader in the church, including yourself, eventually, you are living according to the word of God that you're teaching, you're preaching. And don't run for it. When God calls you to do this, get the training. Yes, not all of us are supposed to go to Tyndale. But today, God has blessed us so many books online, books, paper. You can be studying the word of God yourself. And then in due time, as God invites you through the church to say, can you lead a Bible study? Do it in your own home. Your children, for your children, for your nieces, your nephew, you are their first teacher in the Bible. That's how it works. And therefore, brothers and sisters, honor those who faithfully teach Jesus' word. That's another way to be faithful to God because of his word. And yes, always praise God through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. See, faithfulness comes to continually. Don't stop. Don't stop. Remember, this is written to those who are in persecution. How do you praise God while you're being persecuted? Praising God, thanking God in trial is a symbol of faith that you still trust in him. That's why thankfulness is very important. In the communion, I just told you, read the communion passage. Before breaking the bread, Jesus gave thanks. Before giving the cup, he gave thanks in a time of suffering. To say thank you in a time of suffering is an expression of your faith, your trust in him. I will still trust you. This is what I was doing while reading my word. Sometime, again and again, thankfulness is a small key to open many big doors of blessing to you. Don't neglect it. And the symbol for you to remember, praising is a small key. How big the house is, no matter how big it is, a small key going to open it. And your key for blessing is praise. Don't forget it. And yes, brothers and sisters, if you're struggling with thanksgiving and praising, by faith, let that praise and thanksgiving be a hallmark of your life. And you'll be shocked and surprised how God will come through. Because you know what? Faith honors God. And God honors faith back. And one of the really, really vivid ways to show that you trust God while you're going through a hard time. Lord, I don't understand it, but I'll praise you. I'll continue to follow you. And yes, brothers and sisters, you see, keep doing good work in Jesus Christ for people. Keep on loving one another. You see, keep on loving. Don't stop. That's your faithfulness. Loving. Usually when you are going through a hard time, you try to blame God, you blame your family, you blame yourself. It's a blaming game that goes usually. Or you blame yourself. You're mad at society. You're mad at this person. You're trying to find a scapegoat. Who is at the root of my trial? Who is at the root of my problem? Of my issue? Is my husband? Is my wife? Is my children? Did they keep going? Please, when you're going through your trials, yes, if you know what is the source, sometimes it's your own decision. If it's your own decision, just go and repair it. Someone else, forgive. Forgive. Does not mean you forget, but you need to forgive those who have tried, and then focus on Jesus Christ. Love on giving. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. Continue to remember those in prison. Do not forget to do good to, and to share with others, with him, sacrifices. God is pleased. God is pleased, brother and sister. You see, there are three things for keep on loving one another. Do not forget, get hospitality. And the Bible said by hospitality, Abraham and Sarah welcomed angel without knowing it. You see, brother, in the time of suffering, you will say, oh, I'm suffering so much, I can't do any of this. This is our hallmark of faith. Brother and sister, God knows the struggle you're going through. But would you please ask God to give you the strength to find a way to love people in your family. Start there. My whole thing, don't go too far. Start in your family. The hospitality part, you know what? People are in need around you. Offer a cup of coffee to someone. I'll never forget on one of the Easter Christmas season a few years ago. One day my wife always want to go out. I just want to stay home. Always, I want to stay home. One day, let's take our kid and go downtown Toronto. I said, Karen, I'm too tired. But for the sake of the peace in the family, you had to go. I got in the car, I'm not happy. I'm just sitting there. She knows it, I'm not happy, but hey, what can you do? We went in there. And she knows me. Sweet chalet, you get me. So we got there. I'm following her. All of a sudden, we're in a sweet chalet. I said, oh, Karen, thank you so much. We sat there. At that time, we had seven. Isaac was born. With six children, Karen and me, eight of us. The sweet chalet people are struggling to get a table because we didn't call ahead, right? You eight people show up, it's not easy. They found a table for us, sat there. So you can tell the bill will be big. Because double leg with some ribs on top of that, that's a lot of bill. As we ate and finished all the thing, the time came with a bill, almost what, 200 something? About to pay? They said, no. A couple was sitting over there, they pay for you. To this day, brother and sister, I'm praying, God, where can I run into this couple in Canada and Toronto to say thank you? We never met them. They don't know us. We don't know them. We finished eating. There was a couple over there, they pay for you. Wow. From that day, yes, hospitality was already part of my life in a certain way. I said, Lord, my house everywhere, as much as possible, I'll try to be hospitable to people everywhere I meet them. What you have done is amazing. Brothers and sisters, hospitality at a time, even when you don't want to go, God goes and shows you how important it is. Because in due time, you will harvest. Yes, brothers and sisters, trials are difficult, but you have opportunity here to continue to do all the things for God's glory, to show that you still trust in God. And yes, keep your life free from evil. Two things in evil here for those of us who are married. Marriage should be honored by all. And the marriage be bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer. And the sexual immoral. You're not married yet. Praying to have a spouse in the future. Pray that God keep you pure before you meet that soul to soulmate. I always tell people, sexual purity is like training for the Olympic. If you wait for the Olympic and then you qualify to the Olympic, then you're going to succeed there. And you don't train, you don't practice, it will never work. Take your sexual purity in marriage as your Olympic. Before the marriage itself, you have to learn to be pure sexually. That's why unmarried people, if you really want to be faithful to God and to this, learn to be pure before you're married. Because if you're not, if you are addicted to sexual immorality, even in your marriage, it will be hard to remain faithful to your spouse. That's the key here. And therefore, brother and sister, a concrete way for us, yes, temptation will always be there. I told you, no matter what you do, temptation will be there, especially today on the social media. You're sitting there, a lady sending a message, I saw you, hey, can we go? See, it's very tempting to say yes. Temptation is there, but sure, you know what, you're not my wife, I'm not your husband. You cannot avoid those temptations, but you avoid them to make their nest on your head. And especially today, it's very easy for all of us to fall in this trap of sexual immorality. It's clear for you here and for me, all of us. And yes, keep your life free from the love of money. Money is not the problem, but loving it is the problem. The Bible does not, that don't say don't make money, but don't love it. If you love money becomes your master.
Therefore, today, brothers and sisters, keep your life free for Jesus in Jesus Christ. And yes, reflection. Consider and memorize Hebrews chapter 13, 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Let's do it again. Jesus Christ is the same. Hebrews 13, 8. That will help you a lot. Help you a lot. It has helped me a lot. And yes, in that, brothers and sisters, how has Jesus been faithful to you? Think about that. How has he been faithful to you? You just heard my part. But think about his faithfulness to you in a concrete way. Think about that. Does it mean everything was kumbaya? No. It's within your temptation, your trial, and all this. How has he shown you that he's faithful? And that happened, do the key, the praise. I'm telling you, take the key of the praise. Say, thank you, Jesus Christ. And yes, brothers and sisters, how can you show goodness to others as your gratitude to God for Jesus Christ's goodness in your own life and ministry? In other words, yes, how can I show more hospitality to people after this couple has shown me hospitality in a sweet chalet in downtown Toronto? How can I continue to do that? Does it mean I have finished paying all my mortgages and all? No. I still have mortgage to pay. But as an expression of faith, I can still share a little bit of what I have. Think about that. And yes, brother, how are you dealing with sexual purity in your life? Think about this. This is very important for all of us. We all need to keep that. It's a daily struggle. Your victory of yesterday does not guarantee your victory of today. Your victory of today does not guarantee your victory of tomorrow. It's one day at a time. And then, yes, for us, when you fall into this sexual immorality, come back with forgiveness, like King David with Bathsheba. It is there. Yes, brothers and sisters, how are you dealing with money in your life and ministry? Is money your servant or your master? Money should be your servant as you are submitted to Jesus Christ. Make Jesus your master and let money become your servant. And that's the way to be faithful to God. God bless you the rest of this year and beyond, as Jesus remained the same yesterday in your life, the same today in your life, and the same today, tomorrow in your life. And yes, to remain faithful to his word, run away from evil, love God's word and people who teach that word faithfully, and yes, by God's grace, do good everywhere you go. By the end, your faithfulness is following you everywhere you go. In Jesus' name, amen.